Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as 1798part2.org and republicreview.org. You are listening to the only show on the air, and that's any type of airwaves, whether that's TV or even internet. This is the only show that actually has the only tangible solution in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. Therefore, if you really want to know what you need to do, and if you want to be a part of the solution, then we need your help. And you need to learn how simple this really is and where the focus needs to be. I know that everybody is captivated by this thing in D.C. or Mordor on the Potomac that I would like to just call a train wreck. And that is not where our focus needs to be. Your focus needs to be at your state capitol, at your state legislators. And you need to be focused in getting them to supporting and protecting the Constitution, as well as protecting you from federal tyranny, which is why it's really critical that we all start putting pressure upon our state legislators and getting them to do their job. This isn't GR saying this. This is Thomas Jefferson and James Madison saying this. So we will get through that, and I actually cover all of this if you go through my podcast, which is on reclaimingtherepublic.org. And the reasons why you want to download that these podcasts is, first of all, again, this is the only show that actually is asserting the only solution. We're not conservative entertainers here. We may be rough around the edges, or I may be. But that being said, nobody can refute my argument. And it's not a bragging fact, because it's not really my argument. I'm the guy that's simply recognized and extrapolated from Thomas Jefferson and James Madison what exactly we need to do, because this is exactly what they did when the first time the Constitution was violated. Prove me wrong. So that's the first reason why you want to download the podcast. The second reason is that many of the parts of these shows, as I refer to different terms and so forth, kind of relate to other explanations and other content at a different time. So to dovetail all of this and to garner and get the bigger picture, you really do need to listen to these podcasts. Third and not least, the content that I actually cover is really not temporary. It's not ephemeral. It is something that will actually cover and span the test of time, or at least as long as our Constitution is relevant. And when they discard our Constitution and we are literally, being tossed to and fro by despots and tyrants, then you may not want to listen to my show, because you'll be going, shoot, I wish we would have listened. I wish people would have got this. I wish I would have supported this, because it might be that personal hell that you may have to go through. But anywho, let me also do this. The number to call in, you probably already know, but as I look, our phone systems are being worked. They're in service at this point in time. So I apologize, but if you want to reach out to me, there are different ways you can, and I will give you my email address. It's info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. You got a problem with what I'm saying? Or you want to support, you want to get in there and help or what have you, it is info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. So let me just move into my obligatory, begging and pleading that you support these candidates. If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the candidates endorsement page, it's that little button right underneath the home button on the right side. You click on that. Those are the candidates I need you to send some money to. I'm not asking for a lot. I'm not even asking for a gallon of gas. And it takes, as you heard from Bill yesterday, it costs gas to be able to just go out to these events, to do these meet and greets, to just get the message out. And their message is critical because they are supporting the message that will protect you from federal tyranny. Because as they stand up to federal tyranny, they will be creating the example, which, in all honesty, is going to be set. They're setting an example for every single state legislator in the Republic. So your states, you can start poking at your state legislators and go, can't you be more like those guys? Those guys and gals? Those leaders? Can't you lead like them? There you go. That's what we have to do. And so that's how we can use Wyoming as the opportunity in leading this republic back onto its tracks that the framer put us on. There's no wiggle room. As I was talking to John Shafley yesterday, if you want to go back and listen to that, there is no constitutional ground for the Supreme Court to create any new definitions of the Constitution. It's either in the Constitution or it's not in the Constitution. That's their only charge. And or ratified treaties. So therefore, the only way the Supreme Court can, you know, start dictating what's these new constitutional limits or what the federal government can do is if we amend the Constitution and give them that power. I am telling you right now, if that was within this contract, I am a positive, 100% positive that the states would have rejected this Constitution or that type of constitution when an arbitrary group of men in robes would be able to dictate what could be constitutional, what couldn't be. That's why they protected their sovereignty as states, and that's why they have the responsibility of overseeing this federal government in making sure it stays within those boundaries. There are checks and balances, both horizontal and vertical, and it is the state's job, and it is we the people's job to make sure the state's doing its job. So again, it cycles right back to you and I. So isn't that a pretty picture? Anyway, let me move forward a little bit. If you have not witnessed or watched that video on YouTube of my presentation, and this is not about hits, this is not about trying to monetize. As a matter of fact, I think this is like we've got the third video up of, or at least slightly edited, cutting out stuff, but we haven't cut out any of the content. It is literally, you know, from beginning to end when I start talking in my presentation to the end, but we've just kind of cut out. If you saw the first one, which is, I think the link to this is the second one, both the first and second one kind of have the MC, you know, starting off, you know, chewing while he's still eating his dinner. So I think this third video is actually out there where that's been cut out, and that's on Northwest Grassroots. So the one on Reclaiming the Republic may be pointing to the second video. You might still see the chewing, and I apologize for that. But bottom line is, it was a very formal, you know, meeting, very formal milieu. Anyway, my intent was to ensure that you have an opportunity to actually see this presentation. So if you've not watched it, you really need to, because I go through, you know, the nuts and bolts of the Constitution and why Republic Review is the only solution, period. And so this is a very, very important video because it sets the stage so that when you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and you look at the content right there on the homepage, those bullets of the argument, the bullets of the descriptions of Republic Review, as well as the model, everything should be clear. And then the last step you need to take before you, you know, can really move forward with, you know, the absolute affirmation that this is the only way to do it, is you have to go read Jefferson's resolution with the Kentucky legislatures of October 1798, not his 1991 or 1791. I'm sorry, let alone 1799, not that one. That one was his final, resolution to, you know, acknowledge the fact that the states have ignored their responsibility. If you read that, you'll understand why that was. But when you read the 1798 one, they've got it labeled as draft, and that is incorrect. A draft is something that hadn't been promulgated. that October 1798 resolution was not a draft. It was actually promulgated. The state of Virginia responded to it, and the other states failed to respond. Virginia responded and actually sent out correspondence to all the other states as well. And if you read Madison's, I think he wrote a note on this in 1800. And I can get you the citation for it if you need it. It used to be on my website. But you can read both Jefferson's 1799 and Madison's 1800 responses to the failure of the states. They were not happy. They were pretty upset. And they were I'll just use the word disappointed. They could not fathom how the state leaderships were willing to surrender their liberties and sovereignty to a federal government when we had just finished fighting a war and, you know, maintaining our liberty from a very tyrannical government. And they knew that the direction that those Federalists were taking this country was right back onto a tyrannical form of government. So when Jefferson became elected, they didn't have to undo anything. Those acts were just basically, you know, shelved, and they were left there, even though they're still on the books and what they should have done. But here's the problem. Jefferson, as I talked to John yesterday, John Shafley, Jefferson did not have the authority to go in and just nullify those things as the president. He needed Congress to do that, period. So Congress has the responsibility of, because they're the sovereigns. We've gone through this how many times? I've gone through this several times in explaining that Congress is really the sovereigns within that government, just like the states have their level of sovereignty, just like us, we the people, have the ultimate sovereignty. And so, as you can tell, I'm in a hard break, so please stay tuned, and we're going to get into some really good details for you today. We're going to dish it up. I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And before I move forward, that outgoing message that says the number to dial in, well, the phones are still unavailable. So my apologies. We will definitely have them back online tomorrow. At least I'll probably eat those words, because sometimes when I make that kind of an absolute kind of statement, that I end up being a little wrong on that. So I don't want to grovel too long. You know I need your help. You know that you can really help. You know that all it takes is just a small little commitment. I'm not here, as you can tell, I do not mention names. Only those who really want to step forward as leaders and get their names out there and so forth and how people can start working with you, then by all means, I'd be happy to do that. But anybody that wants to help, there's quite a few people that are helping on the back end, but you know, it's not like I have a bunch of cloned GRs running around, which would be really great. And that is my intent. If you watch that video, by the way, you will notice that my intent, and that's why I give you the slides, and I haven't written any scripts. I don't think you necessarily need scripts. I just don't have the time to write them. But if you, you know, need them, then I can go through that. But the point is, it's so other people can start giving this presentation and bringing people on board to the concept of calling for an audit. So anyway, I will just move forward, and I'm going to be hitting the point, folks, because I noticed that there are a lot of people that actually start either getting home about halfway through, or actually not halfway through, about one quarter of the way through. So after my first commercial break is usually when a lot of people start picking up and listening. And so I'm going to eventually stop the kind of repeating the certain messages of why you need to download, why you need to watch the video and so forth. Those kind of introductory things, because we are growing as a audience, and I really appreciate that. I'm very humbled by as many people that are listening. I am absolutely humbled. I'm here to serve you. It is literally just I'll call it a ministry or a calling, whatever you want to call it. I'm here to help, and oh, by the way, I'm not from the government. So anyway, let me just move forward. We're done with the intros, but I'm going to tell you probably in another month or so, those intros are going to stop dropping and I'm going to start going straight into content and meat. And so if you're ready to have dinner, you'll probably definitely want to be listening to my content and meat while you're eating and so forth. Anyway, I definitely want to get moving forward. I'm going to try to be reaching out to the only governor candidate, and I'm trying to get the other candidates to call in. The only governor candidate that has been willing and really jumped on this immediately, I'm going to be writing an article about this in some of the Wyoming social media spots and so forth so that people can get the word out. I was really disappointed in two of the candidates that I thought for sure they would get on board with this, but at this point, I feel like they're stalling. So I'm going to kind of go back to them and give them one more shot. As of Monday, you know, it's over. I'm cutting bait at that point. The only candidate that recognizes that the federal government is well outside their boundaries is Taylor Haynes. He's the only one that has signed a governor's pledge. Now, a governor's pledge is not the same as a legislator's pledge. A governor's pledge is to lead, to try to influence, try to help educate, and try to help inform the state legislators of their responsibility in stepping forward in doing their job. Remember, the executives, their responsibility is executing the law. And so that's what the governors are, just like the president of the United States. They can't write law. They can't call for. They are not the sovereigns of the states. It is literally your state legislators. So what I'm trying to do is, if you want and or can support Governor Haynes, or I should say, I don't want to jinx him, candidate Haynes, who is running for governor, as well as those other four legislators that are willing to commit, willing to stand up to federal tyranny, I beg you, if you would please just throw a little bit of money at these folks, and please do not donate to me to give to them. It becomes very problematic, as we have already discussed, or as I've actually discovered in giving the money, because I actually gave some money to them, and it requires certain information and so forth, and and I just can't divulge that. And so bottom line, this is not a mechanism for me. So if you want to donate to my website or to reclaimingtherepublic.org, because I do have a way you contribute to it, then that money, I can't get to the candidates. And I don't have the GoFundMe set up. I do not have the ability to kind of do those automatic transfers, blah, blah, blah. So I apologize. I need you to directly donate. Just don't give me one big 50 contribution or $100 contribution or what have you. It would be nice, but I need you. And I've been saying this for a couple of months now. Save your money for this point in time. These men, I wish it was men and women, but these men currently need to get across the finish line. We need them across the finish line. So I implore you, I beg you, beseech that you reach into those pockets and help. And as I always do, like I always tell you, I actually did check and go through the news, and there is literally no sign of the federal government releasing any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers and giving those back to the states. So therefore, that is another argument is why we need to support these candidates, because it's going to be left up to us, and we're really going to count on them to doing this because they're the only ones that have the authority to do this. So is enough said, right? So I do want to do a data call. If you happen to be familiar with Melaleuca and the products and the company, and or you're a user, and or if you are a networker, sells, because I know it's kind of like a direct networking sales company. I'm kind of curious. Would you let me know, you know, because and why you're a part of the Melaleuca brand and so forth? I'm just kind of curious, and I will get into some details as to why I'm asking for a data call on this. But I think it's kind of interesting when I put it all together here, but I won't do that for a few days now. Anyway, Mitchell Nicholas Gerber, I'm not sure if you know who he is. He's been reaching out to a lot of different radio talk shows and informative shows, kind of like this. And he's on YouTube and so forth. And I'm going to be having him on. And what I'm going to do is I'll probably break it up into a bunch of little segments, because I got 11-minute segments as I'm doing this currently. And so Nicholas Gerber, or I should say Mitchell Gerber, Nicholas is his middle name, the Lionheart, is out in Vietnam currently, and he is trying to bring the world to an awareness of a huge atrocity that is happening in none other than Communist China, only where one can actually get away with this type of butchery and this type of despotism and tyranny is where, you know, communism and so forth. And I just want you to know that when we talk with Mitchell, I want you to know that the Democrats are the ones that are trying to get you into the same space as China. They're literally wanting to turn America into a state where the state has all control. And that is exactly what happens when you surrender all your sovereignty and all your liberty to the state. And so I think you're going to find these segments kind of interesting. You know, I've done segments for the Jonah Project. And as a matter of fact, that is a very worthwhile project in trying to stop the trafficking and trying to actually save kids out of sex slavery and so forth. And it is an abomination and a scourge on this nation, just as well as abortion and those types of things. And so any type of organization that does that, I will have on the show. And I want to explain how I'm going to connect these dots, because this is really easy and really simple. The focus and the intent of this show is individual liberty and individual sovereignty and restoring that in this country. And therefore, when you look at the despotism of Communist China or communism period, or even slavery as sex slaves and trafficking and all of that, how much liberty do you think these victims have? And if you go listen to Aaron Tilbury regarding what these sex slaves have had to go through, they get broken like an animal. They don't even relate as like a human being would anymore. They've kind of lost their cognitive processes, and helping them recover takes a lot of advocacy. Now, when we bring Mitchell on, there is no survival from this process of what he's talking about, because this is organ donor, live organ donor processes. And so there is no survival. In other words, once they've harvested your organs, they basically cremate you to destroy the evidence. And this is a huge market. We've heard of cases here in America, like in Vegas, where somebody would, you know, wake up passed out in freezing in the bathtub filled of ice, and next thing you know, they're missing a kidney or a part of their liver or something like that, and you know, about to die. And so those types of things are real outliers, but they do happen, and it is happening at an industrial level in China. So I'm going to have him on. I told him I wanted to do the due diligence, so I did some research looking and so forth, and this is a complete loss of liberty. And as I explained to him, America is the world's only hope, as Trevor Lawdon clearly put it a few years ago, and it resonates with me. When America falls, the hope of the world will fall. We are the only beacon. We are the only light. And so I have to go because I've got a hard break, but I will be right back. We will talk more about that light and leadership when we come back. Thank you very much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
You know, I couldn't have planned this any better. Sometimes the flow of what I want to talk about and the way the commercials are laid out, it's apropos. Anyway, what I wanted to go into next regarding leadership and so forth, because we have a scourge in America, and that scourge is political correctness, because political correctness has got a stranglehold on individual liberty. And without individual liberty, we have no idea where people stand. And as a matter of fact, we start creating all sorts of secret worlds. And the folks that are really behind this are typically social justice warriors, and we'll also find the secular progressives, and then we'll also find every once in a while there are those who are just mean. They're just people that want to try to wage vengeance and or, you know, to go after their enemies, so they use political correctness and so forth. And so I'll let you be the judge of kind of what's going on, but I told you last week, and I may have mentioned it before, that out in the Spokane County in Washington State, there has been a huge uproar because of some and it's not even an association. It's just literally allowing somebody to come up to speak about label lynching and so forth. And the gentleman's name that came up to speak was James Alsup. And you can get all this news from, you know, from the news itself. Even Huffington Post stuck their derriere into this. And so the whole basis of all of this was that in June, there was this rumor and or these ideas that this white supremacist was going to come up to the Red Pill Expo, which I was at, and this supposedly James Alsup was the one that came up, and he was, but he wasn't a white supremacist. At least he wasn't speaking, talking, or anything else, and everybody was kind of going, well, what happened? I mean, how is this person a white supremacist? So the Northwest Grassroots Organization tried to do some due diligence, and I will tell you that there are thousands, probably thousands of hours of this guy talking and so forth. And so nobody really has a good reference point or reference page for where you can get all the information to prove, with beyond a shadow of a doubt, the evidence of somebody being guilty of something. And so anyway, as they couldn't find anything, they had this guy come up to basically speak and talk about label lynching. And after that, I mean, it was like the hammer just fell very quickly as soon as things were posted and actually, you know, promulgated. It was just a matter of days. I think the dust kicked up, and within 2 days, the national, the RNC, and the state were literally engaged to basically demand that the chair of the GOP resign, because she also happens to be a part of this Northwest Grassroots organization, and she happened to be, you know, speaking and doing her job with that. And so they said, you know, we believe that, you know, you were misrepresented, because she was actually representing the Northwest Grassroots and not the GOP, but they were making this direct association, and they try to do that anyway. But bottom line is that this lady, and I mentioned this locally, she's got a big heart, and she's actually has the most purest intentions I've ever met. And she became the scapegoat and the fall person, but actually that wasn't the case. So one of the things I've been doing since this all stirred up is I started going out to a lot of the people that were involved and saying, hey, this is wrong, you know, this guy's bad. And so I approached those folks and said, okay, well, give me the evidence. Show me the videos, because there's obviously a whole bunch of videos out there. Show me which ones have the murder weapon, which ones have the blood on it. Just give me the evidence so that I can actually come to that same conclusion. And then I can, you know, kind of go, okay, well, it's really unfortunate that they didn't find this evidence before they got involved. Well, so far, nobody's been able to give me that evidence. And as a matter of fact, what I have found is this James Alsup is kind of created, and I'm hoping to get him on this show, because it's interesting. There is no doubt in my mind, and I actually assert, and I, you know, it's easy to prove that there are efforts by both the government and both the societal organizations that try to be the self-acclaimed leaders, because there's a lot of them that have become anti-white and anti-Christian, because our education system has purged any type of good references towards American history, and it's all evil. And that's what our kids are learning. And that's why the term white guilt is not a term that is just arbitrary. White guilt is actually something that is a byproduct of this type of indoctrination or inculcation. And so I find it fascinating that people are now starting to get shocked that there has come out of the dust of, you know, this scorched earth approach by our education system and by these secular progressives in trying to denigrate a one particular race and heritage over, you know, and they're doing this for a very specific purpose. They're trying, there's always an end to their goal, and that is to basically create a better justification for stepping away and discarding our Constitution, because it's all filthy, because we had slaves like America. like America invented slavery, and like America, we invented all of the evils of the world. I'm sorry. It didn't take me but a second when I heard Obama talk about Michelle having the blood of slaves in her. It just, boom, just like that, I go, well, hold it now. She's African descent, and that's where the Egyptians were. And the Egyptians had a rule or an empire that ruled the world for 3,500 years, and that whole empire was based on slavery. So doesn't she have more maybe slave master blood in her than slave blood? I mean, in contrast or percentile, and so forth. Maybe he can reference the later blood, but I mean, how can you forget that all of these other atrocities were occurring throughout the world, and slavery was a point in fact, like people use belts to hold up their pants. It was how labor was done. And when you go and you do any type of cultural class where you've got a bleeding heart secular liberal that is teaching that class, they marvel at the Taj Mahal. They marvel at the Great Wall of China. They marvel at all of these great feats of mankind, the pyramids. And oh, by the way, every single one of them was built on slavery. But they, you know, in the second breath after they say that, they'll poke at America and go, look at how evil we were. We had slavery. Can't you see the hypocrisy? And I'm telling you, kids and people with a brain between their ears are starting to recognize that this is just one big manipulation. I mean, literally a big manipulation. And so you cannot fault the byproduct to coming out. And so this gentleman that I hope to get on, his name is James Alsup. He's a part of a group that I kind of like when I've read their description, and I don't know, so I got to get all the facts, but my initial analysis is they're kind of creating an organization kind of like the NAACP. They're trying to protect their heritage and they're trying to protect their history because they don't like the fact that the history is being rewritten because somebody's offended. Well, then there's all sorts of offenses throughout the world. Should we tear down the pyramids? Should we tear down all of these things and there is a huge danger. We're supposed to learn from history. We're not supposed to destroy it, because if we do, then we won't learn and we are doomed to repeat it. And there's so much truth in that message. And so I understand, and I am very personally against, as a matter of fact, when I made my move, I asked some really good friends. I wanted to make sure that when I moved into this area, that there were no real, you know, pockets and or, you know, where was the white supremacy? Because there was this connotation, there was this stigma to the Eastern Washington and this panhandle area where there were a lot of white separatists and a lot of, what do you call those, radicals or what have you. Anyway, you know, the people with their bunkers and so forth. Anyway, long story short, I asked a lot of personal friends, hey, what are race relations like up there? Because I don't want to be anywhere near, you know, those types of turmoils. I really want to be in a place where it is liberty focused and everybody is welcome at that trough. And what I have found since I've gotten here, by the way, is that everybody is welcome at that trough. However, what I have found is that the people behind this dramatization of how evil Northwest Grassroots and this GOP chair was, because literally it's a dramatization. There's no there. There's no facts. There's no evidence that really supports how bad this was, that they were literally using this as an opportunity to get rid of somebody that actually supports the Constitution over party, because that's what Cecily was. Cecily is a person that supports the country and the Constitution over party. And my friends, isn't it time that we start putting the Constitution over party, putting the country over party? And that's one of the reasons why I've been waiting, and I still have it in the queue to get to George Washington's farewell address, because he speaks very extensively of party. He goes into the evils of factions and what we're doing. And even though James Alsup is creating a faction. It is not one of those types of radical factions that is looking for a civil war. At least I'm finding no evidence of it. And oh, by the way, if you've got evidence of this, I've asked and asked, please send it to me. Send me a link, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I'll be happy to disclose it, because it's a matter of being factual here, and it's not about trying to create drama like some of the pogues and political hacks we have been doing that. I'll be right back after this. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And so before I move forward, if you also want to hit me up on Twitter, you can follow me at Mobius Strip News, or you can send me a message or what have you. Please don't send me a direct message. Just send me a tweet. Or if you have information that really needs to be, you know, brought forward, you can always just send me a tweet. I do watch that. Not religiously, but I do watch it, and I will pick it up because I do go through my notifications and so forth. But anyway, if that is your medium or milieu that you like to live in, I know a lot of people like living in Facebook, but, and I'm out there too. It's G.R. Mobley. So if you want to look me up there, or Moby Strip Press, I have a page out there as well. But anyway, I did want to kind of hit a couple of the things that I didn't get to cover yesterday after I went through the Melbourne Man on Tuesday, but that's just because I had a surprise caller. John Schaffley called, and so I said, okay, well, let's talk. Anyway, a couple of things that really stuck out in that story, and I'm not sure if you connected. So the story was supposedly of 1947 when this happened. And this guy talked about, and I don't know if he was directly associating that this Melbourne man called this rock and roll group the Beatles, but I will say this, that the Beatles came from, and they spent most of their time where? When they were getting started, before they became big, they were where? Well, they were in Germany. And Germany was the craze as to where, you know, the radical bands were coming from. And there were a lot of different bands, and it took them a long time to get to their point of fame, or I should say, the recognition.
Here's the interesting thing I also note. If you understand the progress of their music from I Want to Hold Your Hand to Let It Be, or Meet the Beatles, I think was their first album, to Let It Be, and even some of their solo work, you can clearly see how they slowly brought in a fan base, and then they started providing ideologies that were literally satanic, Luciferian, whatever you want to call them. I mean, when you talk about John Lennon's Imagine, the song Imagine, Imagine There's No Heaven, right? What is that espousing? He is espousing a non-religion, agnostic, atheistic kind of paradigm. But he also has a Luciferianism perspective in his song and a lot of the different writings. And if you go into the Beatles, you'll find that that ideology is starting to pop out. On the historical side, they changed their name five times until they, I think they landed on the name The Beatles, which was, I think, 1960. But it was interesting. I think that The Beatles, that, and as a matter of fact, John was the one that supposedly named him. And he, his excuse for naming it was, well, if you take the beat, because it's beat less. And he said, well, if you make it less beat, it's French for like cool. And so I just find there's a disconnect there between 1947, obviously, and the Beatles, unless there was a plan that was put forth where, you know, there would be people that would be aware of things coming forward and so forth. One of the things that I thought was also interesting in this story was the concept of Pavlov and what Pavlov was doing. Clearly, I did know that Pavlov was a professor at the Military Medical Academy, and that was in the late 1800s. And I also knew that he was a director at the Experimental Medicine in St. Petersburg. So this isn't on veterinarian science. This was on people as well. I do know that he did do a lot of research, and the reason he was doing research on dogs was for digestive health and digestive purposes. And that's where he got, I believe, his Nobel Prize award from. But here's the interesting thing. If you understand the Fabian Society and how the education and academic world from Germany and America was literally mind-melding communism from Germany into the American higher education institution, it was called the Fabian Society and later on morphed into the ISS. Well, this was the exact same time. As a matter of fact, why would we not think that Germany, because actually it wasn't really Germany, the Fabian Society came from England. And so why would we think that there wasn't some association in Moscow and in Russia? And so academia was literally free. They were all running around saying, hey, this is how we're going to do this stuff. And literally, it took, 20 years after it was 1917, I think, during the Bolshevik Revolution, where Soviet Union finally fell, where they finally had a successful country that became communist, because even Germany failed under Bismarck because they went bankrupt. And that was the reason why they ended up having two world wars, was because of their failed policies and these failed concepts of socialism and communism. So anyway, in 1912, the one thing that I wanted to stick out was that he got an honorary doctorate from Cambridge. Cambridge was one of the first universities that became and was enveloped in communism in the early 1900s, like 1901, 1906. I think they had a club in Cambridge for communism, and I think they changed their name to Scholastic Socialists or whatever. But bottom line, Lenin gave him an award. He actually hated communism, but what he was doing and what he did in testing was definitely exploited. He ended up resigning about, 7 or 8 years, his mid-20s, 1920s, when he resigned from the Military Medical Academy. And so I find it all interesting how all of this was at the very beginning of when communism was in conceptual form. It became absolutely repugnant when Stalin finally came in. Actually, even under Lenin, the brute force that Lenin used and so forth, but it was nothing compared to Stalin and Mao and Pol Pot. I mean, there were all sorts of very evil statists that literally killed millions and millions of people. And I know that it seems like the kids today are learning that the evil of the world are businesses and corporations. I think you and I, we need to continually remind them that nobody can kill as efficient as the government. Government seems to just do the best job at that. And the reality is, it is the antithesis of good business. If they want to keep their customers, when a customer dies, that usually kind of kills the company, because a lot of people don't want to buy that product because of the side effects. So anyway, let me move on. I talked about this yesterday, and I've only got a few minutes, but there was this Democratic primary win in Michigan where they've got a woman that is an Islamist who is up for the 13th district. So if you want to keep somebody that will not, even though they're going to raise their arm to the square, it is impossible for somebody that believes in the Quran and believes in the doctrines of Islam, that they can support individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And so she will do everything just like everybody, just like the Democrats. There's not much of difference, but she is far more radicalized towards that. And well, there's other radical communists. But anyway, if there's a race you want to get into ideologically because that's your pet peeve, my preference is that we just call the audit and supporting these candidates in Wyoming, these four legislative candidates and the one gubernatorial candidate, Taylor Haynes, and the four legislators. So please, if you've got money, please support them. But if you want to support something that's in a direct conflict of Islam because that's your thing, then by all means. Really, the biggest thing to me, though, and I you can't refute this, if we call this audit, it will shut down Islam, any progress that Islam has in America, and it will protect individual liberty and individual sovereignty so that we can no longer even creep in towards a theocracy or in towards communism. It will shut that door. Now, there's this Balderson who had claimed victory after the primary on Tuesday, and now all of a sudden there's like a whole box of ballots, 500 some odd ballots. This really rings clear for Washingtonians that are well too aware of what happened with Gregoire and I think it was Dino Rossi, where all of a sudden a box of ballots showed up and they said, we didn't count these. I'm telling you, whenever this happens, that means that there is dirty pool at play. And when this occurs, there needs to be a complete audit and a full investigation of the entire state election. And people that are involved need to go to jail. Nobody went to jail in Washington when this occurred. And to me, that it was a huge disjustice or injustice. Well, so I don't want to talk necessarily about 2020, but I do want to mention the James Brown stepping up. I think that what James Brown did the other day, it just poked the social justice warriors in the NFL right in the eye. And he just basically said, there's just no way. There's no way you're going to dishonor. You know, he would never even consider that. And I think it's great that some of these other players are starting to come out and say, you know what? I am a patriot. You know, I do believe in American justice, but it shouldn't be the social justice that you're looking for. Because, again, social justice is the redistribution of outcome, wealth, and so forth. And it is communism. And these idiots or these dolts that have all this college education obviously don't know the difference. Well, that's it for today. I will be back. We will have George tomorrow. So come back and thank you. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.